Buddy, and welcome to the Buddy Mind and Soul Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to another episode. We have officially entered 2022, and I'm not sure if it's because of the pandemic, but saying Happy New Year just doesn't feel right. Because let's face it, the last 2 years have not really been happy. And with the state of the world going into this year, it feels like a happy question mark new year. All that to say, let's just try to live our best life this year. Do the thing you've been wanting to do, wear what you want, be your true, authentic, amazing self, and do whatever speaks to you. Because you're gonna die. I'm just kidding. But seriously, just trying to tie into today's subject. Going into the new year, dying. So today we're going to talk about the elephant or the grim reaper in the room, and that's death. Now, I'm obviously trying to make light of it, but I know that this can be a very heavy, difficult conversation for a lot of people to have. Death can be really scary and uncomfortable, but it doesn't hurt to get comfortable with it because there can't be life without death, and that's just life. And running away or avoiding the topic isn't going to make it any easier. So just as we embrace life, we can also embrace death. And today I'm joined by a special guest, Christina. I first met Christina through the Yoga with Carson Academy teacher training as an instructor, and through her classes and stories, and through her openness that she has shared with all of us. I've been truly blessed to have her graciously share her experience with grief, love, and loss. She is a super talented badass woman. She teaches, she cooks, she draws, and now she tattoos in Colorado. And after listening to snippets of her life through this conversation, I can only really admire the strength and resilience that she has gone through. So without further ado, let's get right into this conversation. Alrighty, so today I have Christina joining me to do an episode covering grief and dealing with loss of loved ones. So we just got, this is what, post-Christmas, the day after Christmas. It kind of just doesn't feel like real that we actually got through this year. This is, you said the first Christmas without your dad?
Yeah, first Christmas without my dad because he passed away earlier this year. It's been different. I think already halfway through the year, I remember having the notion of just like, having a thought of the holidays, because of course they start putting out Christmas stuff in like what, July now is what it seems like in stores, and I was just like, oh shit, like that's something else I'm gonna have to deal with, and just tried to kind of push it away. I know my family, we talked about this, and we talked about it a few months ago, like maybe making plans of renting a house and just kind of going away somewhere so that way Christmas is completely different from how we've ever celebrated it, and just all of us having the feeling of generally not really looking forward to it and having to deal with it. But we didn't go through with it. We ended up just sticking around the house and trying to celebrate like we normally do. And so far it seems pretty, like it's gone pretty well. We've just kept it very low key with just my mom and my sister, my grandma. And I know for me personally, like I'm the type of person where I don't really get hit with those emotional things, and I don't think it's really hit me yet. It's just kind of like a weird disassociation of being here and enjoying being with my family and stuff. But it's been strange. I think my grandma, she had a little moment last night. My mom gave us we didn't really do presents. We normally do presents, but this year we were just, none of us really cared. And it was just an understood thing that it doesn't really matter. We're just going to all be together. But my mom got us these blankets that she made where she put different pictures of my dad and stuff and gave each of us a blanket. And of course, that was really sweet.
That is really sweet. I think I don't even know when it was. Oh, it was like the Christmas before my grandma had passed away. They weren't sure if they wanted to take photos with her because she was really sick and she looked really sick. But they ended up taking photos with her like the Christmas, like a month before she passed. And it's weird to look at because they're kind of Christmas photos. They're all like by the Christmas tree. And it's kind of sad because I don't think we ever like took Christmas photos before. So it's weird to look at it and see that.
It is. That gave me a thought too, where I don't know if you guys use any Time Hop or any other like memory app where it pulls up photos from this day, 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago, however far it goes back that you have on your phone. And those things are, they can be nice, but those things are, can also be super evil for whatever it is, whether it's losses or breakups or anything, where like all of a sudden you're just zapped back to 3 or 4 years ago with this picture that happened today, and you're like, oh shit, like that's a lot. And I think it was 3 years ago yesterday was the last Christmas we celebrated with my grandfather. And it's kind of the same scenario where he was really sick, wasn't doing well, but my family was like, well, let's all get a photo at Christmas because that's normally what we do. And that was one of the last photos that we got him to take with us, just because he passed away like right after the new year, 3 years ago.
And so that had sparked my thought about that because, like you said, like kind of going out of that environment and being in a different environment for the holidays. It's like the same thing with my emotions of processing it. I haven't cried since she had passed away, like since the funeral. Like I just haven't cried. And I kind of like avoid her going back to where she lived. She only lived there for a short amount of time, but I don't want, like kind of don't want to go there. I kind of just avoid it completely because it's just a weird feeling. Like it's not what I'm used to. Like I go there and I expect that I'm gonna see her, so I kind of just avoid it altogether. But yeah, so I want to go into the people that you have lost. So you said that you had your grandpa also was someone that passed away.
Yeah, both of my grandfathers. It's actually been like 1 year after the other where my mom's dad passed away, and then actually it was my dad's dad first, and then my mom's dad, and then my dad. And it was just like 3 years in a row where my dad's dad, he passed away first, and it was definitely a different kind of loss since he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so I felt like I lost him before he passed away because he just was never there all the times that I would see him or visit him, where he was just kind of like off in his own little world and you couldn't really have a conversation with him. There would be maybe a couple of times for like a few minutes where you could see that he was there with you and like just say a few words or just even acknowledge you and just say like, hey, girl. And that was like the acknowledgement that he saw you as who you were, and like that was it. But most of the times he just wasn't there. So it was more of a, what was that? The feeling of, I don't want to say relief, but relief after he passed, just because while he was really sick, he was literally just watching him suffer because of his disease. He didn't like taking any of his medications. And so therefore, like, it was not necessarily an easy process of him passing because he wouldn't take the medications. And then I think that was the year right before the pandemic started, right before COVID. And my other grandfather passed away during COVID, not from COVID. He had cancer, but it was so hard to get him into the hospital to treat him for any of these things, just because when the pandemic first started, there were so many precautions of getting people into the hospital and waiting lines, and they would send you home or you'd have to be tested. Especially since he came from the Philippines. So, like, there was a waiting period before they would even see him in the hospital then. And it was just so wild at that time because nobody knew what was going on. And it seemed like what could have been treated, it just waited too long. And then by the point he was in the hospital, they were like, well, it's gone too far and like too deep now. So it's just kind of a matter of time.
I can relate to that because, like, I think about that a lot because my grandma passed away in 2019, like right before the pandemic, too. And I think about that a lot where I'm kind of, I mean, I am grateful in a sense that she had passed away before the pandemic because, like, she was definitely that person that wanted to nag everyone, but it's like her intentions were good. But if she went through COVID, we wouldn't hear the end of it, too. But also just the fact that, yeah, the hospitals were crazy and like trying, like having an illness or being sick, and it would have been impossible. Like you said, hard to get him in at that time, too.
Well, it's sad too, and I think of a lot of other families that whatever they're going through during the pandemic, and maybe even still now, but I remember at the very, very beginning of the pandemic, they had very strict hospital restrictions. Like when my mom took my grandpa to the hospital for whatever his cancer treatments, she couldn't go inside. She literally just had to drop him off at the curb and someone would pick him up take him in, and then she'd come back and pick him up because they wouldn't let anyone else come in unless like you're the person being treated. So even if you didn't have COVID, if you had a loved one that was sick in the hospital for something else, there was no visiting hours. You couldn't go visit them because they were limiting the foot traffic in the hospital.
That's such a scary and sad feeling to go through. I can't imagine if I was sick, and I'd probably be crying the whole time.
I know, me too.
That's like, even when I'm sick at home, it's like that feeling of like you want your mom to take care of you, and yeah, so that's really awful. So kind of going into your different experiences with grief, because I wasn't aware that you had other people that had passed away before too. But how were those experiences different from each other in your terms?
Very, very different. I was very close with my dad's dad when I was younger. He was not as mentally sick then, so I actually had a relationship with him when I was a child and formed that like granddad granddaughter relationship. But I think when I was 16-ish is when he started getting really mentally ill again, and
Oh, wow.
that's kind of like when we, I guess, when I lost him, or he just like wasn't there. And like I said, dealing with his death was hard because I had the memories from being a child and remembering him
Yes.
there, but it was also a sense of relief and just that he wasn't suffering anymore, and it was a thing that was okay to happen. And with my mom's dad, I did have a relationship with him, but not definitely not as close, just because he was long distance. He was either in the Philippines most of the time, or Guam, or Utah, so I would only see him once a year at most. So it was something that I was sad mainly for my mom and the rest of my family when he passed. And I definitely don't mean that in a harsh way. Like, I was sad too, but it didn't hit the same way that like when my other grandfather passed, and then when my dad passed, that was like a completely different feeling from that. It was almost like a sense of disbelief. When I was a teenager, I also, one of my friends drowned.
Oh,
It was me
wow.
and him, and we had went swimming together, and it was just like a freak accident. We went swimming, and he was trying to swim in jeans, and I guess either just the weight of the jeans or something, and started to go down, and like I tried to save him, and
Oh
so
my
it was like a
God.
very traumatic experience from just like being in person. And being that young, that was my first experience with death and grief. I do feel like it has primed me for like losing my dad. I know it's not the same type of relationship or same experience, but I could see just like how traumatic that was when I was younger, of having to deal with loss and just death in general.
How old were you?
I was 18.
Oh, wow.
17, 18, 17.
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, those are your teenage, like your prime teenage years too, so I can definitely see, like, that must have been really, really hard.
Yeah, it made me grow up quick and sent my life on a different path than I probably would have gone had that not happened. But I could ramble on about that forever. That would be a completely different
We're
podcast.
gonna do a different episode about like the butterfly effect or something. So for me, it was just like my grandma or my grandpa had passed away, like, I don't know, 8 years before my grandma, and that was the first person in my life that had passed away. Well, okay, so I say that, but when I was like in middle school, I was like 13, and I was into K-pop. Like, I was very into K-pop, and K-pop wasn't that big back then. It was something that was just like you get into it with your internet friends. So I made internet friends that I would talk to every day. I mean, just how like we're internet friends, but I never saw this person. We would talk on the phone. We never had face to face, but everyone else would webcam you. There was like a group of us. And so I would talk to her, she would come on the chat, and she had a friend that would webcam with us, but she would never webcam. But she had her profiles and stuff. So anyways, eventually one day found out that she had brain cancer or something. And you know, it's like a couple months, and then all of a sudden I find out that she passed away from brain cancer. And it was hard because I didn't know how to process that. And it was hard because I, believe that it was real. But as I get older, I don't know if I was like being catfished or not, or like if this person was even real. And that's the hard part. And that was like my first little experience with death. I didn't really know how to handle that news. But the real experience for my personal loss was with my grandpa. And like, he was diabetic and he was slowly deteriorating over time. And we had taken this trip to Lake Tahoe. They had lived in Sacramento at the time. And like most of my cousins, we all went up. We went on this trip. And I was like writing this out the other day because I totally forgot about this memory because it's been so long. I think I was like 13 or 14 too. And after we went on this trip, everyone's saying bye. We're all like going back to the towns that we're at. And my grandpa's just standing at the front porch and just like waving and sobbing. And he's just like crying. Like he's so sad. And it always makes me so emotional thinking about it because it's just like such a sad image in my head to see like an old man cry. And I just remember sitting in the car like so sad because he knew this could be the last time he saw everyone, and that's what really broke his heart. And it's kind of funny because my grandpa, we were all really close to him. He was that like grandpa figure in our life. But I guess I didn't really realize how much he loved us until that moment because, it's not like he told us every day and stuff like that. He would do stuff for us, but it wasn't like a straight on emotional connection. So yeah, that was a sad moment that I had thought about when you can see that the person knows that they're, slowly dying. It's a very different experience than like a tragic death.
Yeah, it definitely is. That's how it was with my Lolo too, my mom's dad, where he was just kind of slowly dying with cancer, and like he knew he was dying. He knew he was, and that was I had just moved to Colorado before he came here when he was very sick. So it didn't really work out well that I had just moved across the country in the middle of a pandemic while he was here. It was great that for those last few months of his life that he was able to be closer with my mom and his son, and then my other aunt who wasn't too far. My mom, she mainly took care of him in those moments. My mom and my uncle took turns where it was very difficult, like being, I know it had to be hard for her taking care of him, but at the same time, I think she's really grateful to be able to just be with him those last few months of his life. And I remember I would talk to her some, and she would share with me things that he said of like, oh, like I know I'm dying, and just watching his kind of struggle and acceptance with death or non-acceptance. And that actually, I know I wanted to mention this too, is you always hear like the five stages of grief, and people think that that's what you go through when you lose someone or someone dies, these five stages of grief, the denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And this was by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I listened to a podcast where they had explained that it actually isn't the five stages of grief of like loss and losing someone. It's actually the five stages of grief for dying people, for people that are older or realizing that they are dying and going through those processes of denial, anger, bargaining, and depression, and then maybe finally acceptance that like this is what's happening. And it was, I had got into this because, of course, after my dad passed away, it just kind of sparked this dark thing of wanting to explore like what grief is, how to handle it, what am I supposed to do, and then just like thoughts of death in general of like, well, we're all dying, we're all gonna die, and being able to try and understand it versus avoiding it. I think that is so far been my biggest way of coping, is just maybe not feeling the grief. Like I, it's not this typical like I'm crying or I'm sad or I'm depressed, but I get very scientific about it and try to put all my energy into understanding it.
With the whole five stages of grief that you're talking about, I didn't know about it at all until you had mentioned it too. Like, I wasn't aware of, I had heard it, like, I've seen the books and people talk about it, but yeah, I think everyone's misunderstanding that it's actually for the dying person and not for the grieving person. And so it's kind of funny because I'm sure it's like how many people have bought the book and they're reading it and they're like, wait a minute, this doesn't sit right.
But yeah, that's where she dedicated a lot of her studies, just spending it in nursing homes or hospices where she studied dying people. I think she got the nickname the Queen of Dying or something like that. I listened to it. It's on Radio Lab. I think the actual name of the podcast is The Queen of Dying. It's super interesting. I highly recommend it if you're interested in those types of things. But when they were talking about it, it all clicked and it all made sense of like, that's exactly what my mom was describing that my grandpa was going through. And I know if I sit down and start thinking about my death and dying, like I could definitely see that. And I've been around older people before. There have been older people in my family, like distant relatives that have passed and gone to their funerals. And fun fact, one of my jobs for a little while as a teenager, right out of high school, was actually a caretaker for one of my older relatives, and I would just spend the day with her while her daughter was at work, help make her food, help her get to the bathroom if she needed it, mainly just keep her company. But I now, like looking back on it, I see some of those things of like the anger and of kind of losing your independence and not being able to do these things and having to accept that the help of someone else helping you or doing this, and just the different emotions that go through something as simple as like not being able to go to the bathroom by yourself or not being able to fix yourself a sandwich.
I think about that a lot, you know, when we practice yoga and like stuff like that, of like we are doing so many things that we're capable of, and like to know that one day we're gonna get older and we may not be able to do simple stretches anymore, or like use our body the way we used to. It's a scary thing, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's where I say, I guess I don't like to say this, but there's the difference between getting old and having to go through that acceptance of death process, and where, like, worst cases with like my dad, where he had no idea that he was gonna die, and there was no, in a way, I'm like kind of glad that he never had to go through that because it all happened so quick that there wasn't any part of having to accept that you're gonna die. Like it just happened. And I think about this too. I even told this to my mom that like is as hard as it is for her and as sad as she is, if the situation were reversed and my mom had passed and my dad had to deal with this, just knowing his personality, I don't know what it would have done to him. Like not that my dad wasn't strong or anything like that, but he was just like such a teddy bear that something like that would have crushed him. He also just loves my mom so much that
Oh
I
man,
don't think he could have done it.
I completely could understand that with my grandma and my grandpa. I don't know how my grandpa would have processed it if my grandma passed away first, but like my grandma, I don't know how your mom's taking it, but my grandma took it hard for like years. Like probably till the day she died, she took it hard. And like every time I'd see her, it was almost like we would kind of avoid trying to talk to her sometimes, because she would always just be like, I'm like, you know, talk about she misses our grandpa, like there's no one here that loves her, and she didn't feel loved by a lot of people, and you know, she was so sad without him, and she would just always cry, and we're like, we don't know how to comfort you. Like she was always grieving, and like that was the hard part where we didn't know what to do to comfort
Yeah,
her.
it's really hard, and that has been, I mean, my family, we're still working through this, but I know like it's a process and it takes time, and I think that's also been one of the biggest lessons that I'm learning is that everybody grieves differently, and there's no set process for people to follow, where maybe for some people, grieving starts right away. You're immediately thrown into that. And for some people, like I'm definitely know I'm one of these people from bottling things in and just how I handled things in the past is that when things get tough, I put up walls and like I'm just like a plow truck of like putting up these guards because I know I got to push through and that's how I
Right.
handle things, where I won't let myself process until I feel like it's safe to process.
Yes.
And so I don't even feel like, I think I've described this before in some communities, it feels like I haven't started grieving. Like I am sad and I miss my dad, but I don't feel like I've let down the walls where it's almost numb. It feels like
Yeah.
I try to let things out because I know I need to, but then it's like I don't feel anything to let out.
Yeah, there's
And it's
moments where I'm
a
like, I want to cry. I just want to cry so I can like get it over with, but like I can't.
yes. That's where I'm at right now, and it has been difficult for my family because myself, my mom, my grandma, and my sister, we're all in different parts of this grieving process. And naturally, we're all grieving the same thing. So you think you want to talk to each other about it, but then it's difficult when you might have an expectation or something from someone. And then that expectation doesn't get met because maybe that person isn't feeling the same way you
Right.
are or wanting the same thing. And it's difficult to support when you're also trying to just support yourself in navigating through this.
Yeah. And yeah, like some people might not be ready to talk about things that you're ready to talk about as well. That can be hard because that's how I feel about like with my mom, I feel like we don't really talk about my grandma, and they were very close too. It's just, I don't know if she just wants to avoid talking about her, or I don't know, we talk about her here and there, but we never talk about like grief and like how that feels and stuff like that. But I definitely can understand that whole, I never felt like I have fully grieved either. But I think at one point, because it's been about what, 2, it's gonna be almost 3 years now, and I think I've come to terms with, like, this is how I grieve. Like, that was my grieving. And, like, maybe that's okay and that's what it is. Like, I'm not crying every day. I'm not super sad every day. And maybe that's my experience. And so I think having those expectations of, like, man, I feel guilty because this person was so close to me and now they're not here. And maybe I should be more sad. But the fact is, I don't feel sad all the time. And that can be weird because you see everyone else, and you know that's how they are. So trying
Yeah,
to deal with
and
that.
it's definitely an interesting topic, and I've discussed this with some of my friends where I think part of this is just because we don't talk about death and what happens after death as much as we should, and that sometimes there is, not all times, but sometimes there is this very strange pressure to continue to be sad or continue to like always have to be this way, because if you're not sad or if you don't always talk about this person or don't always do this, then like you're not remembering the person or you're letting them go or whatever it might be, that you didn't care as much if you're not this sad or if you're not this way, where it kind of holds you in. I feel like part of the, I don't want to call it the grieving process, but it holds you in a state where you feel like you can't move on from it, because if you move on from it, then you're forgetting the person.
Right.
Where I don't think that's true.
Right.
It's
Yeah.
part of life.
And I watched this TED talk, like I'm sure like you've done as well, where like after you experience a grief, you kind of like you'll start studying, like you'll read and watch videos and all this stuff about grief and how to process it. So there's this TED talk about grief, and I really liked what she said. Her message was pretty much that, you know, people say like, have you moved on, or are you going to move on and stuff like that. And it's like she says, you never move on, you just move through it. And that's really what it is. It's like it's not just something that you close the book to, it's something that you're gonna live with for the rest of your life. And you just learn
Yeah.
how to live with that.
And this is something I think one of the lessons I learned from when my friend passed away when I was a teenager, where I would count the days since he had passed, and I kept up with the number. I would count every single week, where it was almost like this heavy thing that I would keep on my shoulders and wake up and think of every day, where I haven't done that with my dad. And I care about my dad, and of course I love my dad. I just realized that it held me in a state where I don't know why, like I don't need the number
Right.
to remember.
I think also the age you're at and like where you are now too, like learning how to handle your emotions much better and like see this is why I'm feeling this way and kind of pinpoint things instead of like if you know you're, you know, counting those days is not going to help you, like you understand that and know that it's probably not good for your mental health and things like that moving forward. But I wanted to talk really briefly about, because I feel like we both, when you mentioned that, you know, you lived in a, you're not with your family and you're far away, is that we both kind of have that similarity in the sense of like, I had this pretty much the same exact thing as you with my grandpa. So we moved back to Texas, my sister and I, and my grandpa was already sick and he was pretty much begging us not to go back to Texas because he knew that his time was very limited. And we still went back to Texas, and then like a week later, we found out that he passed away. And that was really hard. Like, it's hard having those long distance family relationships because you're just consumed with guilt. Like, maybe if I just stayed for like a little bit longer, or you know, didn't leave, or if I was closer to them, like I would have had more time and things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely been difficult. I mean, I've never lived away from home before, and I decided to move. And definitely moving away, one of my biggest fears was something's going to happen to one of my family members, and I'm going to be halfway across the country, and I'm not going to be able to be there. And then that happened. And I definitely feel guilty because my mom, my grandma, my sister are all here, and I know how hard it is for my sister at times. I mean, all of them, but just thinking of my sister specifically, that I feel like I'm not here to help out or to help support or do this or be there. And I try to come home when I can. And then I feel guilty too, because being away from where I grew up and being away from like anything that has to do with my dad, it's almost like, I don't want to say I forget, but I'm able to easily distract myself halfway across the country. And especially if I'm busy with work, where like I can go all day and keep my mind busy and not think about it until I get home or until I talk to my mom or my sister or whatever it might be. And part of that does definitely make me feel guilty that I'm able to do that, or that I have that, I don't want to say advantage, but that I'm able to do that.
No, I agree. Were you there when your dad had passed away?
No, it's actually in like 2 or 3 days, I think, will be the last time that I saw my dad in person, because we visited last holidays, and then I saw him. And the last time I saw him was New Year's Eve. I went out to dinner with them before I went over to my friend's New Year's Eve get together. And that was actually the last time that I saw him in person.
Yeah, with my grandma, like I can definitely relate, and I always think about my sister when I see you and your sister together, because I can tell like you guys have that sister bond, and that's how me and my sister are too. And when my grandma had passed away, I obviously wasn't there either, and like there was a whole situation with my sister. You know, my sister loved my grandma so much and was there for her and all that, but she wasn't able to be there for her death because just a miscommunication, and she lives right across the street from her. So, you know, my sister was very upset and, you know, called me crying, and like she's grieving and crying and grieving, and like I'm just on the other end just trying to like console her. And, you know, I'm not like grieving or crying because our situations are very different, because I, you know, didn't have the chance to make that close bond with her the her past years. And so it was hard because I could easily just be the outside person kind of looking in and, you know, not being able to be there for her to like defend her, help her in certain things was hard too. But I can't imagine like not having my sister to like go through that grieving
No.
experience with.
It was actually a crazy coincidence the way that it happened when my dad passed, because he passed away literally the day after my sister came to visit me in Colorado. It was March, and I think she was on spring break from college, and that's why she was going to come and stay just like 3 or 4 days with me in Colorado to be her first time out there, first time visiting since I had moved. She got there, and it was literally the next day that my dad had passed away, and we were together when we got the news and when it happened. And I mean, I'm glad. I guess I'm glad that she was there just because we were able to be together, but it was just such a freaky coincidence or I don't know, situation that
No, I
we were
get that.
together during it.
Yeah.
But
It's
it was
like they
hard. And
know.
yeah, it's like, I don't know. It was very strange. And we weren't able to come back right away. I mean,
Right.
it was a difficult situation because my mom was also sick with COVID during the time. And so no one could be around her when my dad passed until she had tested negative. And that was very, very hard. Where, like, I know my uncle was like, he came over and was just hanging out outside and like built a fire outside my mom's house just to like be there, but not there because he couldn't be around her. And me and my sister were in Colorado, and then it snowed like 4 feet in Colorado the day after we got the news, and all the flights were
Wow.
canceled. So we waited, I think it was 2 days until after he passed before we were able to actually fly and be here.
Yeah.
And it's just been such a crazy year with everything that's been going on.
Yeah, it really has. And that's just crazy that I didn't know the exact like story of that. But I had briefly talked about it in one of my previous episodes where, I was going through a lot before my grandma passed away and like he was dealing with like a breakup and moving and getting a new job all in 1 week. And as soon as I finally moved, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go see her before I start this job. And I booked my flight. And then, literally, like the next day, I get a text that she passed away. And that's just like, of course, she would do this to me. I was like, God damn it. Because, yeah, it was just like, oh, man, like I booked this flight to finally come see you and like spend time and like you're gonna do this to me. So I was like very, so like I'm Hmong, like half Hmong, and my grandma's Hmong and they're shamans. So we very much believe in like the spirit world and all that stuff. And so I just felt like, she knows, like she knew I was gonna come and like she knew I had a lot on my plate. And so it's kind of like in a way a coping mechanism of like, I think that they know, so like they're ready to pass away. Like they don't want others to kind of suffer in a sense of seeing them go through that.
I could definitely relate to some of that. And I think for me, another thing that just kind of blows my mind, and I've listened to other grief podcasts after my dad passed just to explore more. And there, I found one, I can't remember the name of the podcast, but it was just short little 20-minute stories of different people explaining their situation with grief and losing a loved one. And there's been so many just from this past pandemic where I know I'm not the only one going through what I'm going through, where of course, it's sad when you lose a loved one, and lots of other people can relate, but it's just crazy to think that there's so many people all going through the same grief of losing someone to COVID and going through the experience of like not seeing them in the hospital or them being in the hospital for X amount of days or being quarantined and not being able to get somewhere or whatever it might be. And it's even happening for the holidays. I've had friends where thankfully no one's been in the hospital, but either friends are sick. So they're like, well, I can't come home because I'm sick or I've possibly been exposed. So I'm pushing back my trip and whatever it might be. And it's just so crazy to think that that's what the world is right now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day too. Like it's been 2 years. Like 2 years is long. Like holy shit. I wanted to talk about your experiences with your own death or like how you saw death before these things happened to you. Because I think we maybe kind of briefly talked about it if like you may not have thought about yours a lot or death in general maybe. I always think about death. And it's funny because we talk about it, and you're like, a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it's kind of bumming. But like, ever since I was little, like in elementary, I would always think about how the hell did I get here? And I'm gonna die eventually. And then, like, am I gonna be reincarnated into someone else? Like, I used to think about reincarnation a lot of like, what's my earliest memory? Things like that. And I was really scared of death. I used to be really scared of dying.
Me too. I used to be really afraid of death, like so afraid to the point where it was just something that I think I just kind of pushed off to the side and didn't want to think about. And maybe for a little while, I just didn't think about it. After this past year, I've definitely thought about it more. And like you said, it seems like every conversation that I get in with someone, I end up bringing it, circling it around to something death or dark or whatever, and just being like the weird death girl where like every conversation circles back to that, and it can be a very, very heavy topic. And so I try to
Yeah.
just proceed with caution where some people may not be ready to accept it or
Yeah.
talk about it. And I find myself thinking about it now where like I don't want to collect too much stuff or too many things because I don't want someone to have to deal with my shit after I die.
All your collectible
Yeah.
dolls, you're like, fuck. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like these hoarders and stuff, it's like, ugh, who's
Oh
gonna
my
wanna
gosh.
take those things?
Yeah, and it's crazy to think about it that now it's like even with Carson, if I see him like piling up too much stuff, I'm like, we need to get rid of stuff because if one of us dies, we're gonna have to deal with it. And like it's gonna be hard enough. We don't need to have all of this shit to also have to go through.
Like, don't put all your pickleball rackets on me, okay? Yeah, that's really funny.
But yeah, and it can definitely be a double-edged sword, and I think a fine line to walk of like, well, you could die at any moment, so how much of the like hashtag YOLO life do
Right.
you live?
Yeah.
And where do you still structure like your goals and your boundaries and trying to accomplish this because this is what you want to do before you die? And it's so philosophical because it's like I find myself struggling with that of like, okay, well, I want to do this and this and this. But then there's also another cynical side of me that's like, why the fuck do you even want to do that? You're gonna die. So like, is it gonna matter? Does anything matter?
Yeah, she starts spiraling. What is
Yeah.
life? And you're like in the
That's a
Matrix. Oh my gosh.
it's a deep spiral to fall down that one of.
Yeah, if you watch the Matrix enough, it'll fuck with your head a bit. We're just in the Matrix. Also, I don't know if you watched the new movie, but
I haven't seen the new one yet,
it was
but
okay.
yeah.
I think it was after, maybe a little bit before my grandma passed away that I started thinking about my own death a lot, and I don't know. It has to do with something of like having my self practice of just like reading more or like learning more about death and stuff like that. And so I talk about Ram Dass a lot because he just has like so many great takes on things. But he talks about death a lot because, I mean, it's just what happens in life in general. But I don't know, however it happened, just like listening to his teachings and stuff, I've like really learned to see death as this really beautiful thing. And like, that's when, you say death is a very heavy topic for people to talk about. I'm like all about talking about death. Like, it's almost, oh, it's a very light thing for me almost of like, death is a beautiful process. Like, what's gonna happen when we die? Like, are we gonna, get sent off into the universe? Are we gonna come back? Like, it's more of like an
Yeah.
exciting roller coaster. I don't know. It's very
It
cynical,
is.
but yeah.
No, I've listened to, because on top of like the grief things, I've also listened to a bunch of stories from people that have briefly died, like people that were brought back after being dead for X amount of time. And just listening to the stories they tell, it literally gives me chills just thinking about it, of people explaining that were in accidents and they were like, yeah, like I was in so much pain or whatever. It was like scary when the accident happened, but then they were like, if I saw this light or like someone on the other side, they were like crossing over, there was no pain, there was no hurt, and there was no worry. Like I felt safe and it was okay and there was no pain. And then it was like stories of people that were, if they had other loved ones, where they were like, well, like you have a choice if you want to go back or if you want to do this, and whatever feelings, like for some people, it was like I felt like I wasn't done and that there was more to do and than coming back. And
Yes.
so that's a crazy thought that,
Have you
like,
watched Soul, the Pixar movie?
yes,
Yeah, I
I
love
love
that
that movie.
movie. And I just
I
rewatched
cry.
it. Yeah, I cry every time.
I do too.
And then like after I feel so good, I'm just like, I love my life. Like, life is so great.
Yeah, and that's where it is hard finding the, like, you want to do these like big accomplishment and have these big goals where after like watching a movie, you're having like that realization of
Right.
just being able to like put on your shoes and take a walk outside and like
Yeah.
see the sun and like feel things. There's like I can't explain like the joy or just like that
Yes.
feeling of like total euphoria that
Yeah.
feels really good to be in those moments when you are actually able to be in the moment and not be thinking about whatever else you need to do
Dying.
or being somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this overlaps a lot with going back to yoga and like mindfulness practices of actually being able to pull yourself into the moment and be aware of everything that's happening around you and
Yes.
take that in before moving on to the next thing.
Right. Yeah. And that's like, I think, again, with like the whole Ram Dass thing of like his a big teaching that he's gained popularity from is just be here now, which is like being present. That's what life is about. It's just about being present. Like, shit's gonna happen. Shit's already happened, but just staying present and like enjoying the moment that you're in and getting through it like one day at a time. And I know it's like people hate hearing that shit, but it's literally it's just one day at a time, really.
It is one day, one step at a time. And I know I wanted to bring this up too, where a lot of the grieving process I also felt primed for because I've been through it before in a different way, where going through, you said this earlier, a breakup or a divorce, it is very much the same type of feelings and the same type of grief of not wanting to get out of bed and going through those
Yes.
same stages of whatever it is, denial, anger, bargaining, and finally acceptance. And I felt weird because my mom, losing my dad, is now like living alone for the first time and doing all these things where, in a way, I try not to like compare my situation to hers at all because I can't imagine what she's feeling and what she's going through. But
Right.
it sounds so similar to when I separated from my ex-husband and lived on
Yes.
my own for the first time, where I'm like, yeah, it was really weird, like sleeping by myself for the first time and like not having a person in bed and going through that and learning how to cook for just myself, or
Yes.
like learning to find the motivation to cook for just myself. And it's so similar that grief is not always just losing someone to death. It can be losing
Yes.
people to so many different things and so many different situations where you'll go through those same feelings.
Yeah, that I kind of completely relate to that because when I had gone through my breakup, like my long-term relationship, and I like lived with this person and he had broken up with me like while we were living together, so it was like really going through this crazy grieving process where like I cried more nights going through that than I did when my grandma passed away. And
Yeah.
it's awful. Like I would journal a lot too. And like even in my journal, I like remember writing like, I'm grieving the death of our relationship and the death of this person because essentially this person is gonna no longer be in your life.
Yes.
And you're having to come to terms with, the end of those things for sure.
And I mean, it's not only that person and that relationship, it's also like who you were in that relationship and yourself. It's also, there were so many different elements that I went through during the separation of course, being sad that I wasn't with the person or whatever, missing the person, but then like letting go of who I was in the relationship and
Yes.
becoming a new person.
Right.
And that was probably the hardest thing
Yeah.
to let go, was just those pieces of myself then.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that for sure. 'Cause I'm like, how am I supposed to go do stuff if I don't do it with this person? And
Yeah.
like you kind of like, oh, I can't do things by myself anymore 'cause like it just feels weird. But yeah, learning how to do things again by yourself is another challenge after that for sure. I wanted to briefly talk about too, because I know we kind of talked about it a little bit, but do you believe in like spirits and ghosts?
That I think has been something that I've been exploring because I don't think I've put a whole lot of thought into it before my dad passing. And like, I love ghost stories, and I would always go like house hunting or whatever, not house hunting, But like
Ghost
me and my
hunting.
best friend, yeah, one of our things we would do would go ghost hunting. We live in the middle of nowhere, and there's like an old Civil War battlefield near where we live, where we'd go at night and drive around and just like ghost hunt and stuff. But I don't know if I ever had any like real interactions or took time to think about it. And since my dad passed, I read a book by, I think her name is Laura Lynn Jackson. I can't remember the name of the book now, but she's a medium, and it just goes through like her different accounts as a medium and how she became a medium and growing up and her experience with the other side. And it's definitely something I'm open to. And after reading those stories, it is pretty crazy. And I've tried some other things where I'm like, ask for very specific signs from like my dad or for people from the other side. And I'm like, yeah, this is happening. Like, give me this sign. And where I've had it happen a few times where I'm like,
Whoa.
okay, well, that's really weird.
For my sister, hers is like a ladybug. Like every time she sees a ladybug, she thinks of my grandpa. And then I don't really have anything. I've kind of, so I'm like really scared of ghosts and spirits. Because like growing up with like my grandma, my grandparents being shamans, there's always like the scary ghost stories. And so I'm like, I don't want to see them at all. I wanted to mention before I kind of dive into this, though, have you watched The Midnight Gospel on Netflix?
Midnight Mass.
Gospel.
I haven't watched the Midnight Gospel, but I have watched a TV show called Midnight Mass
Yes,
on
that's the
Netflix.
completely opposite. Yeah, that's like a scary movie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So The Midnight Gospel is Duncan Trussell's podcast, but he did an animation with each episode. And so in one episode, you know, it's the audio is all podcast, but it's cartoons to go with it. And he does one episode with his mom, who I think she was sick or battling an illness. And they talk about, it's pretty much about death, just that they discuss of like experiencing, you know, he's losing his mom and they're talking about her death and things like that. And it's a really, really beautiful little episode that I'll definitely forward to you so you can watch that. But back to like the spirits and ghosts, have you had any like dreams?
Yes, I definitely had dreams. I haven't had any in a little while, but I was having dreams for a little while where it would just be random things that I would be able, well, like I would see my dad in my dreams, and I can't remember any like specific dreams of where it felt like a message was being sent or anything, but it was just, they were just like normal everyday things, but they were nice dreams to have just because it was like I could see my dad and like he was there, or like I was sitting next to my dad, and it was nice just to like think of those simple things where you could just like sit next to them.
They say
I
in
did.
dreams that it's like their spirit visiting you.
Yeah, that's what it kind of felt like because I don't feel like my dad would try to send me any like very specific message. He was definitely not a cryptic person where his biggest thing would just kind of be sitting around and visiting and just like being present. So it was very fitting.
I just remember vividly like the first dream I had about my grandma after she passed. I was like talking to someone in her old house, and then I could see her like in the corner, like walking towards me. And I was just like screaming no. I was like, no, like telling her to like not come any closer, because I knew in my dream that she was dead. And I was like, that's her fucking ghost, and I don't want to see it. And I was so scared. So I definitely have like some interesting dreams, but I definitely have a lot of dreams of them where like, you know, I'll see them and it'll be like normal, and then I'm like, oh fuck, I'm dreaming, and I'll just start sobbing and sobbing and sobbing until I wake up. And
Yeah,
that's
I've
typically how it
definitely had
goes.
some like where it is like a dream that sucks to like wake up from just because it was so ordinary and normal, but then you wake up and it's nothing is ordinary and nothing is normal.
And then it gets like hard to tell what's reality and what's not. I'm like, did they die? Did they not die? I'm like trying to remember where I'm
Yeah,
at.
like going through the whole acceptance phase again and like coming to terms with it. And that was very hard for a little while of just like waking up every day and kind of like waking up and the first thought being like, oh yeah, my dad's dead.
Yeah.
And coming to terms with that. And I also think that's why towards the end of this year, I'm not really looking forward to the end of the year because then it is like a seal on the year and then a new
Yeah.
year where you start the new year where like my dad's already dead.
Right.
And yeah, it just. It's a weird thought to have. And talking about
Right.
homesickness, I already, like, after Christmas, have always got this, like, homesick feeling of just, like, I don't know if it's just, like, really bad seasonal affective disorder where now it's, like, the cold months of January through March and it's just, like, this sucks. And it being a new year and, like, post excitement from Christmas and New Year's, and now it's just, like, back to the grind or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I
And now
think.
it just sucks.
Right. We need to have like holidays like sporadically throughout the year. I think that's like a huge thing too. Because it's like a cluster of like spending
Yeah.
time with family and like trying to enjoy your time with them and then, going back to the 10 months of being alone or not seeing them and like not enjoying one another. It's a weird transition.
Yeah, it is definitely weird.
All right, Christina, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I'm
Yeah, thank you.
super, super happy with everything we've talked about just because I feel like you give so much good insight and like you're so good with your words too. Being able to transcribe your emotions into words, I feel like can be really hard for me. So every time I hear you speak, you should be like a public talker.
I still feel like it's really hard for me. So thank you, because that's definitely a compliment. I just try to say what's on my mind and just get it out there.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of wrap this up with any like general advice or like what has really helped you get through your grief?
My biggest advice would be go to therapy, honestly. That's actually my goal before I go back to Colorado is to sign up for either BetterHelp or Cerebral to get back into
Yeah.
therapy because, as we were talking about earlier, if you're trying to pull support from your friends or family that
Yes.
either may also potentially be grieving or just not have the support you need,
Yeah.
that's probably the biggest thing. It's just having support from someone who has the mental capacity to give you the support.
Right.
And yeah, therapy and trying to make sure that you give yourself time, and whether that's grieving now and feeling everything and letting it out, then do it. And if it's not, then don't feel obligated to or feel like you need to make yourself do something that
Yes.
you might not be feeling. And just keep it in mind and know that if it does come up, then it's okay to feel it, but don't force anything. And it'll come when your body is ready for it to be processed.
Yes, 100%. I definitely agree with that. Alrighty, well, if you want to tell all three listeners what you're up to and where they can find you, you've recently started your tattoo journey, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, right now I still teach some on the Yoga with Carson Academy, but mainly I'm trying to get things popping on Xtina Maria Art. So if you're in the Boulder area,
Yes.
come get some apprentice tats because that is the next thing that I have is on my list of things to do. And part of that
Yeah.
too is like it is inspired and fueled by death.
Yes.
Because you never know when you're going to die. So if there's something you want to do, you should try to do it if you
Yeah.
really want to do
No,
it.
no regrets, whatever the tattoo is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely cannot wait to go to Colorado one day to get tattooed from you. Oh, I wanted to say, like, real quick, Christina does such an amazing job with your community and, like, you saying, going to a therapist because you're having someone there to has the mental capacity to, give you the space that you need. Christina does such an amazing job. Like, I don't know how you do it. Sometimes I'm in community and I'm like, I don't know if I have the mental space for this and I'm like not even like leading this. So she does a great job and I'm so grateful and thankful for you joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was so awesome. I'm so glad we finally got to do this.
I know. Alrighty, well, I'm gonna wrap it up there. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye, guys.
So again, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And I'll make sure to put all the information down below in regard to the things that we've discussed today and where you can find Christina.